Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The decision not to play Patrick Chung, health-related, or did it have something to do with today's news?
New England Patriots safety Patrick C. Chung is scheduled to be in Belknap Superior Court next Wednesday to be arraigned on a charge of cocaine possession.
Yeah, Pat hasn't played all preseason.
Love me the cocaine.
Yeah, I think we released a statement on that.
Dale Arnold.
I'm not analyzing who has the ball in their hand and what they tweeted at me.
Some ships are made of metal, some ships are made of wood, but the best ships are friendships, and that's the way it should.
Rich Key.
Man, that was fun. That might have been the funnest baseball game we've ever played in.
Today actually was a really bad thing for baseball.
Dale and Keith, middays.
It's a Friday.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I so hate starting the show on a down note.
Oh, here we go. Once again.
But I kind of
Dale
feel,
the downer.
I don't think we have any options here. I mean,
what do you mean? There's plenty of good things.
No,
plenty of happy things.
No,
first of all, it's a Friday.
No,
yeah.
There is not.
TGIF.
I'm not even sure it's going to end.
I got a fresh haircut.
I'm
what do
not
you mean
even
it's not
sure
end?
We're going to get to the end of the day.
Oh my god, this is the worst ever.
So
what's
I'm in the office.
Yeah, as you are wont to do.
we were in there.
Yeah.
You know, kicking stuff around, and I pointed out to these lads and lasses because Lucy's
there's
here too.
There's a lass today. Yeah.
I pointed out that according to an op-ed piece in the New York Times, we're all about to die.
Well, okay. I feel like you could write this story every day. Because it's
yeah, but
one
this is much more important than that. This is imminent.
I feel like, Dale, starting the program, we have 4 hours to go here. By starting the program and just reminding everybody that they're going to die.
No, is today. I think it's today.
No. So what do you say? Why? Why this
Because
time?
A super volcano is about to take us all out.
Supervolcano.
A supervolcano, which I didn't even know there was such a thing as a supervolcano. A supervolcano, by the way, which has erupted twice in the last 2 point some million years.
That's a long time.
The last time was 640,000 years ago.
Okay.
So as you pointed out in the office.
Yeah, we're due.
We're due for
this sucker to blow. So
this is the Yellowstone supervolcano.
So this op-ed
piece in the New York Times, and let's be honest, if it's in the New York Times, it must be true.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's about to take us out.
So would the supervolcano would be able to destroy the entire world?
Yes.
Seems like a stretch to me.
They say it will end life as we know it.
I disagree. Now, life may change.
You may disagree.
Life may change. It may be a little hotter for everybody. You may have to move, especially if you live in that area.
So
you're telling me.
Here's the quote, Rich.
Yeah.
It would be, quote, the greatest catastrophe since the dawn of civilization, unquote.
Oh.
How you feeling about it now?
I don't feel great about it, but I don't really understand the science behind it. So if a volcano in Yellowstone goes up, people in Australia are going to melt?
We're all done.
I don't think so.
Because the smoke from the volcano will cover the entire world, like covering the sun so that you get no sunlight, and it's just death from there, my friend.
What if we dig holes and live underground?
Mole people.
Like, yeah, like chuds.
Or, better idea.
Yeah, cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
Yeah,
what if we turn into chuds?
That'd be better.
But you're still alive. Yes, you would have to change. Your day-to-day would be different.
Better idea.
As a chud, you'd have to change.
Yeah, well, much different. Your whole menu is different.
I know you hate the thought of us having gone to the moon, but what if we went and colonized?
We would have to go there. We'd have to get our stuff together.
Here's the quote.
Mars.
This guy says the supervolcanoes represent an ultra catastrophe that could lead to human extinction. Other examples are an asteroid,
yeah,
and nuclear
so
or
sense.
Biological warfare. Oh. He suggests that although an eruption in our lifetime is unlikely,
yeah, it hasn't happened yet,
one could decimate the planet.
Now, the idea of human extinction, that is realistic to me. Like,
yes.
That will happen. Like, it's not going to be humans forever. It's just not. It wasn't for a while. Now it is, and then it won't be. That's just kind of how it goes, right?
We got an interesting fact from Twitter as well.
Oh, good.
So this should be good. What do you trust more, Twitter or the New York Times? That'd be a poll.
Probably Twitter.
Our
good friend Dice on Twitter said, the last time the supervolcano erupted, Dale was graduating college.
That's a good line, actually.
All right.
I like that.
Fair enough. I don't understand.
I didn't know there was a super volcano at Yellowstone.
Because I didn't either. Don't you think, we hear about the asteroid, like, ooh, there's one close. Remember, like, every couple of years, you hear about the one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, if you look
it's
at
the
where
neighborhood.
It is, like, there's a chance it could smash into the Earth and then that would be over. That seems more likely to me than one of these big volcanoes melting the entire Earth. That seems like way too big a range for the volcano.
So we were discussing this in the office.
Yeah.
Scheim said, it's time to get my affairs in order. And I pointed out, why bother? What difference will it make?
He wants to make sure everything's all set.
Will done.
Well, if we're becoming chuds or going to the moon, I need to be prepared.
Just pack a small bag, maybe.
Yeah, just the essentials.
You're going to have to adapt another place. But Dale, I don't love this one. I think when the human race does ultimately meet its demise, I don't think it's going to be by a volcano.
The Yellowstone volcano is known as the continent killer volcano.
Okay, not world killer, continent.
How many continents we got?
We got enough to go around. We could all move to
Africa or Asia. The rest of the planet might go,
Well, we're losing land every single day. I don't know if you've heard about this climate change at all, Dale, and some of the ice caps and things like that. It's a real problem.
So what would be a bigger deal?
Yeah.
The 8 out of 8 supervolcano ending life as we know it.
Sounds like it.
Or Brady and Belichick retiring
at the same time. That would be worse. They're basically
We would become chuds.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's the exact same thing. The Patriots franchise as we know it would be over. At that point, you had a great run. You had an unbelievable run. Against all odds,
That's how we would approach it. Yeah. You had a good run.
Time to get your stuff and decide
they're leaving.
And head out. Just start digging. Just start digging a hole. And just, you're going to have to live underground now.
You have to worry about stuff. Well, you worry about a lot of stuff.
I do. That one's lower on my list, if we're being honest.
The super volcano
part? There's a story about an 8-foot snake is
in Newton.
That is so much more on my radar, and that is way more scary than the idea of the super volcano going off.
Shime, a texter wants to know if we would be able to Naruto run away from it.
Oh, that would be the only way, maybe.
I don't think everybody could do it. Only certain people can pick up enough speed to do that.
True.
You might even be able to pick enough speed that you could like jump around and dodge the rocks coming from the top.
You
of the
are aerodynamic.
I am very much
sort of.
That's true.
So we read this earlier today in Newton.
This is terrifying.
Someone somehow let their 6 to 8 foot ball python escape from the backyard. What do you take it out for a walk in the morning?
Give a little leash on them and go out there. Oh, it's disgusting to even talk about. But yeah, they described the snake. It's like 8 feet long.
It's 6 to 8 feet long. Very thick, it said.
Thick.
Multiple C's.
God.
It was this thick. That's just gross. But that to me is scarier. Like, that's just down the road. This volcano thing. Not going to freak out. I'll freak out about stuff, I think, if it's the ball python, that is worth freaking out about.
Correct. And it's really not that close to where you live, and I don't know how fast
close ball to where we are right now, though.
It's real close.
Yeah.
Remember before when Bridget told us she went out to her car and there was a rat out there?
Oh, that rat has no chance.
Well, I'm just saying the ball python will be drawn here.
Right. It's like the seals and the sharks.
Yes.
It's the exact same thing. I know.
The ball python could be out there right now.
It's scary.
On your way to your car today.
I know. That's why I run to my car every day.
Naruto run
out of the building right into my car every single day.
Feet just going like crazy.
I pick up a lot of speed.
So I have a proposal.
All right.
And this is something I'm sure. Well,
I may reject it, but let's hear it first.
If Bill Belichick is not listening, I'm sure someone down there will let him know.
I heard he podcasts the show.
He does that.
He's busy while we're on live, but he always podcasts. Yeah.
Could we just take every player who matters on the 90-man training camp roster and wrap them in bubble wrap until Sunday, September 8th?
Just dropping like flies last night. Just brutal. Now, you can look at it a couple of different ways. I mean, they're thankful that they have their starting quarterback, their starting offensive line, their starting running back, a bunch of starters on defense. And for the most part, those guys were able to. I know Kyle Van Noy went down for a moment, but
he came back at least.
At least he came back, yeah. Right. But if you play tight end for the Patriots, that's apparently a spot where you can't last a second. Brandon King, you know, I mean, I know he's more of a special teamer, but he's
a core special teamer.
And it's preseason. And you see it every single year. 4 games is completely unnecessary. And after a game where, you know, guys getting carted off the field, would they lose 8 guys? Again, even counting, you know, Kyle Van Noy coming back, it was just a pile of guys getting hurt for a meaningless game. And it's just, I mean, that's the nature of it. And unfortunately, you can't rest all 90 of them, but just sucks. Like, that's the worst part.
I wouldn't play anybody next Thursday.
No.
For those of you who have tickets for Thursday's exhibition closer against the New York Football Giants, sorry.
Yeah. Hopefully you went last night and you saw Brady for a quarter and a half.
For 3 whole series.
Yeah. 28 plays. Tom Brady was out there.
8 for 12, 75 yards. Thanks for coming. Get the hell off the field.
That was it. Everybody else, just ice up. Just stay healthy and get ready for that Steelers game.
According to Jim McBride of the Boston Globe, Brandon King, it is expected, suffered a torn quad, will require surgery, done for the season. Now, again, this isn't, I mean, no disrespect to Brandon King. This isn't like losing Sony Michel or, you know, but this guy is what they call a core special teamer. And if you want to know what his teammates think of him, did you see what it was like?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Belichick comes out on the field. Mm-hmm. The whole team gathered around him as they're putting him on the cart.
Yeah, it's just, but it also just reminds you of how quick a guy who is a bigger factor on the team could go down. Like, if you play him in these games, they can go down. And I understand they can go down in the regular season, but at least you're playing for something then. At least those games matter. Like, you care about the wins and losses and everything else. This is just useless stuff. It really is glorified practice. I know they have the TV cameras, they have a full stadium and all that stuff, but these are just scrimmages. Nobody remembers the records, nobody cares about the stats, nobody cares about any of that stuff. And then you have just so many guys that get hurt. Happens around the league every single year. And last night, though, it just seemed to really pile up for the Patriots.
One after another, guys going down. Now, some are not expected to be serious.
Yeah,
it's not long-term injuries. Gunnar Olszewski supposedly took a shot in the mouth. He might have needed stitches, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, Ben Watson can't play the first 4 games of the regular season anyway, but he's now in the NFL's concussion protocol for absolutely no freaking reason.
Well, might be a reason.
Yeah, well, not according to Eric. No, I didn't even know.
So Eric Reed dives on Benjamin Watson. Benjamin Watson was clearly down on the ground.
It's sort of like
goes right
Gronk's,
to his head.
Gronk's was worse.
Gronk's was much worse.
Much worse.
So I don't think
where Eric, he targeted a guy.
Eric Reed's, I think if that happened in the regular season, you would say, kind of late. You know, I didn't really like it. You're probably going to get fined.
He's going to get fined for this one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he will. He will. But I'm saying in the regular season, you wouldn't really think too much about it. But the fact that it's a veteran player, so it's not like a guy who's just, hey, I'm trying to make the team. I'm flying around. I'm kind of losing my head here a little bit. This guy's been around the league for a long time. Benjamin Watson's clearly down and on the ground, and it's the preseason. Now, you could always make the argument, hey, I play all the game. I have 1 speed. I'm out there. This is what I'm doing. But come on. It's the preseason. You don't need to dive on there. And I know, you know, football-wise, hey, Benjamin Watson's going to miss the first 4 games anyway. But does he really need another concussion?
No.
And I don't know how many he's had in his career, but I'm just saying he's a football player. He's probably had several. And now another concussion for this. And you see his eyes when he gets up, and he's just sitting on the field for a while. And then Eric Reed. And so if you don't know this, you know, Eric Reed obviously has been, like a few other players in the league, outspoken about Jay-Z and thinking, you know, what is Jay-Z? He's a sellout, and he's joining up with the league and all this other stuff. And, like, he's not really, you know, fighting the fight that we are and all this other stuff. And then Benjamin Watson commented on Eric Reed, saying that Eric Reed's wrong.
He wrote on Twitter, he wrote, yes, at E. Reed 35, Eric Reed. Yes, Eric Reed, you are wrong. You know the work many of us, including Malcolm Jenkins, have done. No one entity owns this movement. We are all a continuation of the generations who fought before us. We need each other. And Benjamin Watson is considered, and anybody will tell you this, you know, one of the important voices in the National Football League. I mean, he is a guy who is always out there, you know, fighting.
One of the longest tenured guys in the league,
and
too.
Respected.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you watched what Eric Reed did last night, I could understand you saying Eric got mad because Ben Watson called him out on Twitter and said he was wrong.
I don't think it's a coincidence. I think he knew who it was, and he had the opportunity to do it. So, naturally, after the game, Eric Reed is asked if it had anything to do with the tweets.
Some people drew the connection between Ben's tweet and then the hit. Was it personal at all?
What tweet?
The tweet that Ben Watson tweeted, and you were saying that you were wrong, that the Players Coalition...
I didn't even know he tweeted. That's not even something that you process in a game.
Right.
I'm not analyzing who has the ball in their hand and what they tweeted at me while I'm playing the game. So
I
actually believe that he's not sitting there going, oh, look, that 8-4, I remember what he wrote about me.
Yeah, maybe it didn't go that way, but I think that if it was another player, maybe he doesn't do that.
That's fair.
So I think that, first of all, he's not going to answer it any other way. You know, the guy's not a moron. He's not going to sit there in the locker room and say, yeah, I did it, and I do it again. Because then guess what? Then the fine goes up, and then maybe there's even a suspension if it's premeditated and all this other stuff. So that's the answer that I would expect. I just don't believe him. I think he saw an opportunity. And not that he started the game saying, oh, I'm taking out Watson.
I'm going to go find Watson.
It just so happened that that opportunity presented itself, and he said, oh, there he is. Oh, and look who it is. And the fact that he says he didn't see that tweet, I also find it hard to believe. Now, there's a chance. You know, these guys, especially the ones that have tons and tons of followers, I'm sure they don't see all their notifications. I could understand that. But I'm sure somebody at least relayed it to him, right? Even if he's not scrolling through all his notifications, I'm sure somebody, especially because it was another player. A lot of people have been critical of Eric Reed. Like, you don't have to go very far to find people critical of Eric Reed. But another player, including a player that you're going to happen to be playing against, I feel like it was on his radar.
Now, I think Eric Reed has a pretty good idea what's probably going to happen out of all this.
Trying to stop him from getting the first down. I looked at the replay. Yeah, he was down. We'll see what the league decides to do with it. I anticipate myself getting the fine, but yeah, just playing the game.
So he's been fined. He was fined several times last year.
Oh, yeah.
He has added all of those to the grievance that he's filed against the National Football League. His grievance continues. They're continuing to try to settle that thing. So he'll just add this fine to the pile of stuff that he's already complaining about.
Put it on his tab, I suppose. But I mean, if it's a cheap shot, it's a cheap shot. Whether or not you kneel for the anthem or not, right? I mean, whether or not you think you were blackballed from the league for a little while or not, if it's a cheap shot, and last night it was a cheap shot, and I just so happen to think now maybe he does it if it was. Somebody else. Maybe if it was, Lance Kendricks out there, maybe he does the same thing. I feel like
Ryan
maybe not.
Izzo.
Right, because that is the type of player. Like, he'll cross the line. Like, there's some safeties that they need to be intimidating. They need to, toe that line at times with big hits. And so maybe he would have done it anyway. I feel like, though, when he saw Benjamin Watson, he wasn't going to miss the opportunity to hit him one more time.
And he'll get fined for it.
Yeah, he will.
And he'll complain, and he'll claim it's part of the oppression that the National Football League
But there didn't seem to be, there wasn't like a crazy response on the field. There wasn't guys getting in his face. There wasn't anything.
Not even
like,
sure if they realized initially what happened.
I don't think they really did. And Watson, obviously, he couldn't really bounce up and do anything about it. He was kind of out of it. So he was just sort of sitting there. But it's not like the teammates turned it into a big thing. It like you said, it wasn't like the Gronk play at all. Like the Reed one. Again, it was late, but it wasn't one of those like, oh my God, what's he doing? And he didn't drop like the people's elbow on him either. You know, it was a helmet to helmet hit, but he just was kind of diving in. And what he could say anyway is he's just finishing the play. Like, he knows it was a little bit late, but nothing that was, premeditated.
A texter says it's not a coincidence. Keefe is right. We could just end it right there.
I agree.
We don't even have to go any further.
Stop.
According to the texter, Eric Reed did the same thing with Malcolm Jenkins about the same issue. Got physical after a Twitter rant last year.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Now, so if that's true, if he went after Malcolm Jenkins, then I'm sorry, I don't believe him when he says he didn't even know what Benjamin Watson wrote about.
And if you're going to go after Malcolm Jenkins, who's another defensive player, you're certainly going to go after the tight end that you're playing against when you're a safety, and you're definitely going to be – there's going to be opportunities where you're going to be able to hit him. And so, yeah, I just think there's – it's too much for that to be a coincidence.
All right, so assuming that my bubble wrap idea is not one that the NFL is going to adopt.
You can bubble wrap some.
Here's what I do think that's much more realistic. Get rid of two preseason games. Yeah, go to sure. two preseason games. And by the way, don't add them to the regular season.
But that's
don't
what they're going
to
do.
16
that's,
to 18.
That's what they're going to do. How do you sell that? How do you sell that to the league that we're going to miss two more home games? Or, I'm sorry, one more home game.
Here's what you do. You go to two preseason games. You go to two joint workout weeks. And you find a way to monetize the joint workout weeks. Mm. You put one of the workouts in the stadium. You sell concessions. You do, you know, you have
kids in free, $5
a reduced ticket rate. You find a way to monetize it for the owners. But what you do, I mean, do you think the owners need four preseason games?
No, they're just greedy. They just want.
I shouldn't have said the owners. Do you think the coaches need four preseason games?
I don't think so. I could feel the roster right now for you.
Well, I was going to say, at the beginning of training camp, before they get started, I bet Bill Belichick could have his roster down to 60 names out of the 90 that are on the training camp roster. I bet he's only looking at decisions on 3, 4, 5 positions.
Yeah, probably. Because you think about the amount of work they do for the draft, the amount of work they do with all their free agents and everything else. They probably have it pretty close. And a lot of times, by the end of camp, you end up whittling down the roster because of injuries suffered in a long camp and preseason. You have to IR half your guys, and then, all right, well, cross them off. Here's our practice squad, and here's our team. There's a couple of bubble spots. And I know, Belichick said he didn't even know what the term bubble was when he was asked about it last week. But there's probably a few kind of position battles. But for the most part, if you told him 2 weeks ago that, hey, we need your 53 right now, he could do it.
He doesn't need four preseason games. In fact, he could probably do his roster without any. Yeah. But I'll give you two weeks of workouts with another team.
In fact, the joint
workouts,
they probably do.
They like it more.
I think they get more out of it. I think Belichick's even sort of alluded to that.
And much more control.
Yeah.
Now, guys can get hurt in those as well.
Of course.
I understand
that. Of course they can.
You can get hurt doing anything that involves physical activity like football. But you don't see the injuries after joint workout weeks like you see after preseason exhibition football games.
Right, exactly.
Do away with them. We got a bunch of stuff to get to today.
I do have one concern from the game.
Beyond us all being extinct by the
maybe
end of the day.
Maybe a bigger concern.
The ball python curl up in your wheel well when you get to the car today.
So that's number one. So there's one notch in between the two. Uh-huh. Below snake, above volcano as it concerns to the game last night.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's a tease.
I like that.
We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. It's a Falls Count Anywhere Friday, so whatever you want to bring to the table is fine with us. We got a bunch of stuff we'll offer, but we'll take your suggestions as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll get to the calls and give you some more stuff that Keith's evidently concerned about.
Well, it's a concern. I think you might be concerned as well.
After trending now.
We return to a Falls Count Anywhere Friday with Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
Bro.
So I'm fairly certain at about 2 o'clock, poor Dylon, the intern, one of the world's great interns, I might add.
Really? He's in the top 5.
Oh, he's right there.
In fact, he might be the top 5.
I'm fairly certain that he's going to be out there with a stick banging on the wheel wells of Keith's car.
He has to check all the cars.
Checking for the ball python.
I need an escort to my car.
Could be in the parking lot looking for the rats that Bridget found out.
We're on high snake alert here at WEI.
So what besides the ball python is something that concerns you?
All the buzz about Jacoby Myers, I feel like, has been warranted, right?
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers, they say, all the beat writers say he's been the best player at camp, really on both sides of the ball. He's really popped. You know, they draft N'Keal Harry in the first round, and he battled some drops early on. Now he's been battling an injury. Here comes Jacoby Myers, who wasn't drafted, and he's catching everything.
Looks great. Right.
He's playing with the first team. He's catching everything, and he's had a really good camp and preseason. And even last night, 7 catches for 74 yards. However,
Stidham was the quarterback.
Without Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is too bad because they could certainly use him. As much as I love Josh Gordon, we all know that maybe not the most reliable player on the team, right? So even if he,
What are you saying? I said he may not be.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're looking around and you're saying the tight end position, Dale, is probably not going to have a whole lot of yards, catches, and touchdowns going out on a limb. So you're looking for another receiver to sort of step up. Obviously, Edelman is going to get thrown to a million times. Josh Gordon, if he's out there, is going to get thrown to. But where else can they find some offense? And N'Keal Harry, very much an unknown for a number of reasons. And so
the hamstring thing makes you nervous.
Yes. But. Oh, 100% it does. But then Jacoby Myers, you're thinking maybe he could be it. But watching last night, didn't seem like they were on the same page. And we've seen with Brady, if a guy isn't where he's supposed to be.
Candy.
Yes. For as much as people have used to always say.
He quit on a route, too.
I know. That's a horrible sign.
Don't do that.
Horrible sign. And as much as in the early part of Brady's career, the mantra was his favorite receiver is the open receiver. That's not really the case, especially since
he sometimes will force it in.
Edelman and Gronk are his favorite. Like, yes. You don't have to look too far.
Whether they're open or not.
Correct. And now you remove one of those guys from the situation, and it's just Edelman. Now, Dorsett, he's in the trust tree. He's in the nest. He'll throw to him, but he's not as explosive as some of these other guys could be.
We had this discussion off the air. So here's what I think, looking at the wide receiver. Yeah. Edelman, lock.
Yes.
Gordon, lock as long as he's here.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Dorsett's a lock.
Yes, he is.
Now, then the question becomes...
Well, N'Keal Harry's a lock. He's on the team. It's just a matter of how much does he play and everything else, but he's on the team.
Then you've got Demaryius Thomas, who worked out with Edelman pregame last night, but apparently not quite ready yet.
Right. Off the pup list. That's a good sign. I don't think he makes it.
He's here, we think, primarily because Josh wanted him here.
Yeah. I mean, and receiver's a need, and this was... They didn't know... When they brought him in, they didn't know about Josh Gordon yet.
Right.
And so they have Demaryius Thomas right now. To me, he feels like the Eric Decker, Reggie Wayne, Torrey Holt, the guy who had a nice career, gets here a little late, you maybe get your hopes up for a second because he's a big name and maybe he could play well with Brady. I don't think he makes the team, and if he does, I don't expect a whole lot out of him. Would you rather, I guess, have Demaryius Thomas coming off of a serious injury and in his 30s, or Jacoby Myers? And I know I just said I'm concerned about Myers, but that's more... If you're not on the same page with Brady right away, does he freeze you out and how effective can you be? But at least the ceiling, I think, is higher for Myers right now than it is for Demaryius Thomas. And that might be what the position battle comes down to. One of those guys makes the team, one of them doesn't.
And you've got another interesting dynamic here. You've got Gunnar Olszewski, who looks pretty darn good as a punt returner.
Hey, nice little player. Yeah, can you take a guy that's just going to return punts for you? Because Braxton Berrios, a couple weeks ago, we're saying maybe he's the guy. Maybe he's a backup slot receiver, but he's also the punt returner. But if he's dealing with injuries as well, then, last year he spent all of last season on the IR. This season we sort of have to wait and see. But that also ties back into if they only take two quarterbacks instead of three, now you have the ability to add another receiver. Or you have a guy, would you rather have a third quarterback or a guy that's just returning punts? Like, what's more important? I would say the punts.
So speaking of the quarterback thing.
Yeah.
Do you want the world's hottest nuclear take on this? Probably not, but I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Okay.
Skip Bayless tweeted this out during the game last night.
All right, so he was watching.
8:42 p.m.
Okay. Live tweeting.
Skip Bayless tweets, quote, "Interesting that Belichick replaced Brady. Not with backup Brian Hoyer, but with rookie Jarrett Stidham. Belichick obviously wants to replace Brady sooner than later. Now he has his next Brady. So wrong. So jealous. So Bill."
Well, he's right about it being so wrong. The whole take is wrong. I don't think that this says a whole lot about Tom Brady. It says a whole lot about Brian Hoyer to me. It says that Brian Hoyer, listen, you played well week one and two in the preseason. You did everything you needed to do. Longtime veteran backup quarterback in the league. That's nice. You're friends with Brady and all that stuff. But we think Jarrett Stidham can probably handle that. Whatever games you were going to win, Brian Hoyer, in an emergency situation, we could probably get away with it with Jarrett Stidham, who was under his rookie contract and very well could be the future quarterback. Not this season. Maybe next season, but not this season.
The rookie contract thing is a huge part of it. I agree with you. He's a draft pick. He's young.
And he's on the team no matter what.
You're goosed and porked either way if Brady goes down.
Correct.
We understand that.
Correct.
But it is entirely possible that they feel they need another position open for a specialist like Gunnar Olszewski.
Right.
We can't afford to have Gunnar on the team if we've got three quarterbacks here.
Or maybe you need to keep an extra safety because you don't know what's going on. You're loaded at corner, and maybe you say, hey, if we can't find a trade for some of these guys, we're going to keep them. And because like with N'Keal Harry and Jarrett Stidham, really, no matter what they did in camp, they're going to make the team. I mean, you don't cut a first-round pick, and you don't cut a quarterback that you took in the fourth round. So those guys are on the roster. It's just a matter of, is it worth keeping Brian Hoyer? Like, what's the best case for keeping him, and what's the worst case for losing him?
All right, let's hear more from that noted football expert, Skip Bayless. Oh, God.
I also saw Bill Belichick then go to Brian Hoyer, the backup quarterback. No, he went straight to Jared Stidham once again. So my second takeaway and my more important takeaway is that Bill Belichick is fast-tracking Jared Stidham to replace Tom Brady. And he'd like to do it sooner than later. And obviously, the most realistic game plan for Belichick would be next year he wants Jared Stidham to be the starter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so does that mean Tom's going to be forced out the back door? Or will Robert Kraft have to step in and slap Bill's wrist once again and say, what are you thinking?
Well, what Skip's missing here is...
Well, lots of things.
Well, there's a lot there. Yeah. But he's reading it all wrong. Like, it says more about Brian Hoyer than I think it says about Tom Brady. And it also... Tom Brady now has the ability to leave the Patriots. The Patriots, hypothetically, could offer him a 100-year deal worth $100 million a year, and he could say,
I'm
done with it.
And he could still say, you know what, I'm going to take a walk.
So at that point, Bill Belichick does have to prepare for the next quarterback, and it could very well be a free agent, it could be a trade or whatever, or more realistically, it might have to be Jared Stidham because you already have him under contract. You know it's not going to be Brian Hoyer. It could be Jared Stidham. So I think
I'm not quite as revved up as some people are about Stidham.
No.
He looks like a rookie, which he is.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, he makes mistakes, which he will. If, God forbid, Brady was going to miss a week, talking about he's down for the year.
Yeah.
If he was just going to miss a week, I'd feel much more comfortable with Hoyer in there than Stidham.
I wouldn't, because like you said, you're goosed or porked anyway, so I would rather
get the ball
rolling.
Oh, no, I
think
on a short term, for a week, I think Hoyer gives you a better chance to win this week than Stidham does.
See, I don't. I really think Hoyer's pretty bad, so I would just take my chances with the young guy, and you know he's going to make a couple of mistakes. Maybe he makes a couple of mistakes that Hoyer wouldn't make, but he also makes a few plays that Hoyer couldn't make.
He's got happy feet, doesn't he?
A little bit, he
likes to give up on the play quickly. Whoa, let's go!
Well, when you
and then you fumble it when you get hit from behind.
But when you're playing with the B and C offensive line, you should have happy feet.
Oh, it was like a jailbreak when he was in there.
Oh, a few of those were just not his fault at all. Like, there was just, it was like a punt block was on and he was just kind of running for his life a little bit. But I would, and again, if he's Brady's so tough that you feel like if the backup quarterback had to play, it's because of a serious injury, right? Like, that's the only time we've seen the backup before. Well, obviously the suspension, and the other time blown ACL. So you're not going to get, like with some of these other quarterbacks, he's out for 2 weeks and then he's back. Like, that seems, We just haven't seen it in 20 years for Brady.
Right.
So in that case, if Brady went down and was done for the year.
Much like the super volcano, he might be due.
True. So you get one of these weird nagging injuries.
Yeah,
he's 42, so maybe it does happen.
I mean, he gets this another big cut on his thumb or something.
But if he went down, say, week 10 and it wasn't coming back, wouldn't you just rather turn it over to Stidham and see, what can this guy do? He's probably going to be the quarterback next year. What can you do anyway? Because you're not winning the Super Bowl with either one. Like, you're not, you don't have that next guy down. You don't have the best backup in the league. You're not going from, you know, Wentz to Foles. You're going from Brady to, you know, an unproven guy and then just a career backup.
We were all watching at halftime last night because we really, really wanted to see Steve Burton and Bill Belichick. Here's what I'm going to suggest. I haven't talked to Steve Burton. I haven't talked to anybody.
Let's get Steve on.
Here's what I'm going to suggest. That somebody at Kraft Sports Productions, the organization that produced last night's telecast, suggested to Steve that he leave certain areas of questioning alone.
The pass rush. Your defense is pitching a shutout so far. That pass rush is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're playing pretty good team defense, so we got them in a couple long yardage situations, and it's always a good place to be.
How good has your running game been in the first half? I mean, you guys have been able to open up some holes. Sonny Michel looks pretty good as well. You impressed with that?
Yeah, we've had our moments. We just had so many penalties that we haven't been able to sustain anything. So we got to eliminate the penalties in order to move the ball offensively.
All right, Coach, good luck in the second half.
All right, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You know what he should have said is that defense is really blowing by the offensive line, isn't it?
I seem to see some cracks in the defense.
Just a little bit.
He did not ask, obviously.
But now, do you think they would have said, like the week before, don't ask about Josh Gordon because you're not going to get an answer? Like, wouldn't they have said the same? Now, this is a little bit more sensitive, I suppose.
And I think because of what happened the week before, somebody producing or directing the telecast said to Steve, look, just don't bother.
Maybe. Or
it's
maybe
just
going to
shut things down.
Maybe Steve just said, I'm going to try to get an answer this week. That's not look at the statement. Because it would have been verbatim. You could have compared the two, and it would have been the same, right?
Well,
they had a statement.
That actually came up post-game last night. As, you know.
They tried.
A couple of people did attempt.
The old college try.
It didn't quite work. No, it probably did work exactly like they expected.
Yeah, I think so.
This is what it was like post-game last night.
Coach, was the decision not to play Patrick Chung tonight health-related, or did it have something to do with today's news?
Yeah, Pat hasn't played all preseason.
What was your reaction today when you heard the news that Pat Chung was facing a felony indictment in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I think we released a statement on that.
So the first one, he obviously doesn't answer. Like the first question, when he's like, did he not play because of health or because he got busted for coke? And he says he hasn't played all preseason.
Yeah,
so,
Pat hasn't played all preseason.
Let me just circle back. He hasn't played all preseason because he's hurt or because he got busted for coke. He didn't get busted for coke yesterday.
No.
That's been out there for a while, and I assume the team has known about it for a while.
Yeah, I think we released a statement on that.
They did. They released a lengthy statement on that.
Can we get a copy of the statement
just
for this guy?
Just issue the statement to everybody, which is we're not going to comment on it.
The Patrick Chung story, which we kind of told you about first thing yesterday morning at about 10:30 and then developed throughout the course of the day, hasn't been much added to it since yesterday, but our good friend Michael McCann, the noted sports and legal expert from SI.com, University of New Hampshire law professor, wrote about it today, and he came up with an interesting possible dilemma for Patrick Chung. We'll talk to Michael McCann about that when he joins us at 11:30. It is not something I had thought about until McCann wrote about it, but we'll talk to him and he can lay out what could be in store for Patrick Chung, who is scheduled to be arraigned next Wednesday in Belknap District Court. And where it goes from there, we'll have to see. Let's get to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
This is not on the new Taylor Swift album that dropped last
night.
No, this one is not on there.
Is this Lizzo? Who's this?
This is definitely Lizzo.
This is Lizzo? I was waiting for the flute to hit. Really good.
Bass will drop soon.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will talk to New England Patriots defensive back Jason McCourty this show. Michael McCann will join us at 11:30, and we'll get more into detail with McCann about the situation that Patrick Chung is facing here, arraignment next week, where it goes from there. And as I said, Michael wrote about it earlier today, kind of a dilemma that Chung could be facing.
Yeah, a little bit. Something that we didn't think of yesterday.
No,
and so
because I'm not a sports law expert.
No, I'm not. You'd think with all the sports law.
And I haven't
law,
hardly ever been arraigned. I mean, there was a couple of things.
That's
but
true.
I mean,
less experience than most,
yeah.
I would say. But you would think that we would be sports law experts by now.
We're working on it.
The last few years, you've been doing this for a while. Would you say the last few years there's been more of these than ever before?
It's why Michael McCann became practically a character on the program.
Right.
And I always joke with him, you know, we'll have a reason to talk to you again
soon.
And we always do.
I mean, I just think recently, and you could just take the Patriots, Dale. Just the Patriots alone would have Michael McCann going up and down and talking about all these different court cases and legal matters and potential, you know, suspensions and, you know, all the different stuff that goes along with it, let alone, you know, the times that we've talked to him about other sports.
And this isn't necessarily sports and law, but it is sports and the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Oh, yeah, what do we got?
Tom Brady has lost his case.
He didn't have a case.
I know. We all thought it was dumb to begin with. Darren Revelle said, breaking, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office have refused Tom Brady's filings of Tom Terrific, citing a false connection with Tom Seaver, who's been called that for 50 years. After an uproar, Brady said he did it so that others couldn't use it.
But that's, we learned, not true. Yeah, we learned that if you're going to patent something, you have to, don't you have to do something with it? Like,
yes.
Don't you have to?
You,
like,
can't
that's
just
point?
Shelve it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get Tom Terrific. I'm going to stick it in a closet over
put
here.
Put it on ice. Like, no. You got to use it. And that was the greatest, because it was like, we've been watching, covering, following Tom Brady his entire NFL career, and the list of people who call him Tom Terrific is very low.
Gil Santos had used it a couple of times when he was doing play-by-play
on
the radio.
Like maybe like on a comeback, he mentioned it. But it was never something that was synonymous with him. It was always GOAT. He's the GOAT or TB12. The GOAT or TB12. Like, those are kind of the two.
I don't even think he can trademark the GOAT, but he probably has trademarked TB12.
Although Jeremy Piven was on this morning with the Greg Hill show, and Piven was saying there's a lot of GOATs. Which I never thought of.
Can I just point out, by the way?
Yeah.
Because as Greg said this morning, Piven was in yesterday.
Yeah.
And they recorded it yesterday.
Yeah.
And then, because we've got this big photo mural in here.
Yeah.
They came in during one of the breaks. They said, do you mind if we take a picture?
And I said, sure, I'll be happy to do it.
Which they tweeted out. And you immediately, Jeremy, if I could just interject here.
Yeah, no, I wanted
here,
to talk to him.
I just started
talking to him. I said, Very Bad Things is extremely underrated. And then you were great.
And he lit up at that.
He did. He was actually very happy to hear that. And then Danielle pointed out that he, his character killed a prostitute in that. And I said he didn't mean to. I defended him there. I said he didn't mean to. And he said, well, can you imagine people in a bar yelling that at me? And I have to tell him that it didn't really happen. It's not real.
It's a movie.
But he was really, really good.
Yeah.
The interview this morning was good. He was nice when he came in here. He did look like
8 miles of bad road.
Looked like he'd been up for a little while. But he said he did 3 shows the night before in New York and then flew in without any sleep.
Yeah.
So I would look much worse than that.
And
But I do all the time.
We call it Wednesday.
With plenty of sleep. And he came in and he was good. The interview was good. And it's funny. I like Jeremy Piven. I hated Entourage. Hated it. Thought that was the most overrated show of all time. He was the only funny part. And I'm not just saying that because he was here. This is one of those shows, though, that got so hyped up for me. Like, you know when that happens when someone's like, oh, this shit, you're going to love it.
Live up to it.
So I watched like 3 or 4 episodes. I admittedly did not see a ton of it, but I watched 3 or 4 episodes. I was like, I like his character. I think he's funny. Everybody else I couldn't stand. But that's what most people, that's where he's synonymous with. Like when he comes in there,
absolutely.
Like, oh, it's from Entourage, I'm from Entourage. But he was in a ton of other stuff.
He evidently
that.
Borrowed Tom Brady's hat before he came in
here
yesterday.
It's a stanzo. Yeah, that thing looked like you could fill it up with a couple gallons of water.
It's a stanzo. It's nice.
They're nice. So he had that on. But that's what I think. If you're a certain level of famous, don't you have to wear a stupid hat? I feel like non-famous people don't wear as many stupid hats as famous people.
Like, I was actually...
Is that fair?
I was somewhat surprised today because... Whenever you do get a fresh haircut, like you have today, you don't have the hat on backwards.
No. Nope. I go fresh cut. I let it breathe for a couple of weeks. Then it starts to grow out. And then I go...
Hat back on backwards.
Backwards hat for the rest of the time.
So Piven, on with Greg Hill, did talk about the whole GOAT thing.
Jeremy, no, there isn't one GOAT. There's many GOATs.
Tom
is one of them. And Walter Payton is another. You know, Brian Urlacher as a linebacker is another. Mm-hmm. Julian Edelman, another undersized white boy.
Oh.
He's half a Jew. I'm a full Jew. We're 1.5
it's your
Jews.
People.
It's coming Tuesday nights. 1.5 Jews. It's going to be me and Julian Edelman. You know?
He brings up a good point, though. There's a lot of GOATs.
By the way, he's a Chicago guy.
He
you
is.
Could probably tell.
And
Walter
Payton,
Brian Urlacher.
And they brought it up because
Big
he
Bears
said,
fan.
They said Walter Payton, he said, I guess, a while ago that he's the GOAT. But if you're going positional GOATs, he's right.
Yeah.
You can have Jerry Rice is a GOAT, right?
Lawrence Taylor is a GOAT.
He's a GOAT. There's GOATs everywhere. A whole pile of
GOATs.
We
got a whole herd of GOATs in here.
So that was good. But anyway, long story short, it was nice to talk, although briefly, to Jeremy Piven yesterday.
You sounded like fanboy.
I like Jeremy Piven.
Excuse me, Jeremy.
I was. I didn't know, because I've heard different stories about him. There's stories on the internet that say maybe he's not the kindest guy.
He seemed very
pleasant. He seemed super nice.
Yeah.
I was going to say, when he came in, I wanted to look at him and say, didn't I lock you in a dumpster? Because that's, of course... What they tell him in old school.
Done that.
And then he would have said, I got out. And then I would have said, good for you. And we would have had a nice little moment. But I was like, oh, I don't know how he's going to take this.
You were like working. How do I work at this?
Like,
what line do I use?
I lock you in a dumpster? Because he was great in old school. He really played the villain in old school very well.
We'll talk Jason McCourty at some point here in the next few minutes or whenever they decide to have him call. Michael McCann will join us at 11:30. Your call's coming up next. Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.